Amen. We're going to start again in Romans chapter 8. We're still talking about mortification. We've learned in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We know here that this verse is talking about receiving a new nature and getting rid of the old nature. Amen. And the word flesh here is referring to the body of sin, the nature of sin, that if you're not born again, you're walking after the flesh. But if you are born again, you're now free to walk after the Spirit. Then in verse 12, it continues and says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. And that word debtors means slaves. And I'm going to bring up my King James Version on my iPhone here. Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So here, he mentions the word flesh. Say flesh.
Flesh.
And body. Say body.
Body.
In the same verse. And I want us to know this because it's really interesting how, like with the word spirit, it was only through meditation and understanding in context, when you see the word spirit, that's the only way you really truly know what the writer meant when he says the word spirit. Because this word spirit can mean a born-again nature. It can mean your inner man, your inner body. It can mean the Holy Spirit. It can mean a demonic spirit. And so that's just one word, spirit. So to understand what he's trying to say, you can see the word spirit in one paragraph or one verse or one book use the same word for different meanings. And the only way you'll understand it is through understanding in context what is being meant. And we've heard Gary talk about how the Hebrew language is pictures, and yet the Greek word, there's more Greek words, but they're still pictures. Having English to understand Greek, we're at a disadvantage. And having Greek to understand Hebrew is at a disadvantage. So we're at a disadvantage at just reading. We have to have the Holy Ghost to help us to understand in context what is really being said. Amen? Well, the word flesh is similar. The word flesh, and I'm being careful here, but it comes from a Greek word, sarx, S-A-R-X. And it has a broader meaning than the word body. The word body is usually defined as body. Inner body, outer body, spiritual body, something, a container, something that contains. The word flesh is a little more broad. It can mean body, but it could also mean the inner man. The word flesh is covers of bones. It can mean many different things. So the word flesh can mean body, the outward body, but it could also mean spiritual man. It can also mean your old nature. Okay, but the word body usually does not mean flesh. So, in other words, I believe you can take the word body in flesh and interchange them sometimes, but flesh can sometimes mean body, but body does not always mean flesh. I hope that helps. I just confused myself. So here we see the same word, and this I can see why it can be confusing in Scripture, and why, you know, we all start at a level of understanding when we're born again because we have carnal minds. We try to take Scripture and cram it through our natural brain. And our natural brain goes, huh? And usually it tries to take Scripture to twist it so it gets the advantage. Your carnal mind tries to take the advantage of Scripture all the time. And so when you first are saved, depending on what church you go to, I remember when I first heard Pastor Dave teach, and he started to talk, and I was trying to listen to him, and it felt so good. Did you ever hear Pastor Dave preach, and you felt just the presence come, and your spirit man's going, oh, food, food. because you've been in so many services where the preaching comes and it's all to the carnal mind. I remember when I was first starting a youth pastor, and a guy came in and taught. We brought him in. We brought in a band and to do a concert for our group, youth group. And they brought in a teacher with him. One of the band guys was a teacher, so he wanted to teach. And he taught, I mean, it was such a great message, but it was all intellectual. So my natural brain was going, wow, I wish I could teach like that. But my spirit was not fed. And see, when you become a man and a woman who's aware that you're a spiritual creature more than you are a natural creature, you begin to see what feeds you and what doesn't feed you. Just like how many know you can go to a rock concert and your emotions can get real high and you feel great. Just like you can go to some church services and the praise and worship explores your natural emotions to bring you excited, to get you excited. And just like some preachers will preach to your natural man to get you excited. And a good offering example would be, how many would like to pay off your house in just one payment? In fact, how many would like to be so blessed that you look over at your neighbor and your sisters and your brothers and your all your relatives and say, I'm a child of God. I have so much abundance that I'm going to pay off your house and pay your college because God loves us. How many would like to do that? And what example you will be to your neighbor of the blessings of God. Amen. How many would love to do that? How many know you're an heir, a child of God? See, right now I'm exciting the natural part of your brain for a place of peace that says, oh, if I had so much money, I'd have no more problems. But your spiritual man is starving for a word that says, God's your father. And if you're with your father, it doesn't matter if your bank account has zero. How many know all your needs are already met? Amen. So I can excite the natural man and then say, now, if you like to have that abundance, you need to give right now because there's anointing on me right now for you to receive not just a hundredfold, my brother and sister, a thousandfold. But the anointing is going to leave quick, so hurry. You watching on camera, write your check right now. How many like to see your lost daughter say, your lost son healed, your broken child healed? We'll plant a seed of faith. See, so I'm exciting something in you, in the natural man, to give you hope. But I've seen so many services, and you've been there, where you got excited about the possibility of hope, but the next day after the service, you have what's called, they call buyer's remorse. I can't believe I gave that preacher $1,000. And so there's a way to excite the natural man into the things of God, but it's really useless because the next day, you know, you're still the same. The only true way to walk through things, to follow God, is through the Spirit, through your spiritual man, through the understanding of the spiritual man versus the understanding of the natural man. So here in chapter 8, verse 13, he says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. So we see two words in English, flesh and body. Now flesh sometimes can mean body, but body does not ever mean flesh. So when it says flesh here, it means the old nature. If you live according to the nature of sin, you're going to die. There's no hope for you because that old nature, if you don't get rid of it, you can go to heaven and say, I'm the holiest guy. You know, if I were to take some unsaved religious guy and sit him beside some of us Christians, they would probably have a holier lifestyle than a lot of Christians. But the nature inside of them is still sin, is still dark. So they're never going to be able to go to heaven, no matter how holy they are, how disciplined they are in their flesh. You can take a list, take the average Christian, say, do you do this? Yes. Do you do this? Yes. We have our spies on you. We saw you do this. Yeah, I confess I did this. And did you think this? Yeah, I did. I saw you look at that girl. Were you thinking this? I was thinking that. And then you take some holy guy who's not born again, but maybe practices another religion. Did you do this? No. Do you this know? He has disciplined his flesh out of fear and have come to a place of discipline where he does not allow his natural mind to go places. But if you went to heaven, guess who gets to go to heaven? Not the guy who's disciplined, because what allows you to go to heaven is not that you're perfect. It's that you're born again. Amen. There's only one question you're going to be asked when you die by the angel or St. Peter or whoever they say meets you. There's going to be one question in the day of judgment. Are you my child? It's the only requirement to go to heaven. Not perfection, not holiness, none of that. And so that's what this is saying. If you live according to the flesh, if you're not born again and live by that nature, then you're debtors to that. But we're not debtors to it anymore. Why? Because it's been crucified. It's been put to death. That nature that came from Adam has been put to death the moment you're born again. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. Now here's interest, because it says, if by the Spirit, if by your new born again spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, for many who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I'm saying all this because we're going to go over to Romans chapter 13. And last week I made fun of our mortal body. That was the name that God gave your body, mortal. He nicknamed it. Romans chapter 13, verse 8, we'll start there. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So really, the way we can tell if we are fulfilling the law of God, if we can tell we're living by the Spirit and have matured, our new nature never matures. It's the same. We mature to our new nature. So the new nature tells you who you are. You're righteous already. See, when God looks at you, he has the ability to look past your body, past the carnal part of you, and look at you. When you look in the mirror, there's two mirrors you can look at. You can look in the mirror of the flesh or the body, or you can look in the mirror of the Spirit. And so in the middle of your worst day, the worst day ever that you're having, where you feel like you failed God, you failed in practicing holiness, in the worst day ever, you can look in the mirror of the Spirit and God will see you righteous. But your flesh, if you look in the mirror of your flesh, you'll see all your imperfections, all your failures. So you are now a two-part creature. You're part spiritual man, spiritual body, and part flesh body. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
You also have a spirit, or what we call a new nature. You are not that new nature. You have a new nature. You have an inner body. You have an outward body. The outward body you have right now is temporary. It's what is earthly, of this earth. One day it's going to be replaced, as well as has happened to your inner man. One day you will not have this old body wearing you out. So let's read this again. Verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. What did Jesus say? That if you do it in your mind, you've already done it. See, there's a place of I want to say the word holiness. Holiness is how much we submit our flesh to our spirit. See, you are righteous. Years ago, God told me this. The way he told me was, God's gift to me was righteousness. My gift back to him is holiness. That's what he told me. God's gift to me was righteousness, right standing with God. So when I stand before God, even though I may have imperfections, how many know because of the blood of Christ, when he looks at me, I'm perfect. I'm righteous because that's who he made me. I'm not trying to obtain righteousness. I am already righteous. But the fight that I have is to make my body submit to the righteousness that is coming out of who I really am. So even though you may struggle, notice I said you, with holiness. See, how many know that holiness is not a requirement for heaven? The only requirement for heaven is that you are born of him. Salvation is the only requirement. Holiness, you can choose to live a life that's not holy unto God and still be born again. Many guys at the last breath, the last moment before they pass, make a decision to know Christ and are born of him. And they go into heaven with all this junk around. They go to heaven leaving a legacy of being horrible. But yet, in heaven, God sees them as perfect son. In fact, just as perfect as you could be. See, now, because the things of this body that are left over with us, and that's what I'm trying to get to, you don't have a spirit, a nature of darkness anymore, but you have a body of flesh, a body of this world. And that's what is telling the born-again believer here. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfillment of the law. Now, when I look at this word love, I think of my children. As a father, how do I love my children? I don't believe this word love here is a ooey-gooey type of love. Like, I love you. Like, beat me, hit me, slap me beside the face, steal from me, go do drugs, I love you. I love you. There's a part of love that you have to have, which is I love you no matter what you do. But there's a part of love as a father, which is I love you, so I'm going to train you how to survive, how to equip you, how to make it through life. And so there's love. This love here, I want to make sure is clear that you can let a perfect stranger come up and slap you upside the face, and you're supposed to forgive them. But if your child comes and slaps you upside the face, you take him to the back and you spank him. All right. Amen. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time. And now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Now, what? If I'm born again, I'm already saved. See, there's a lot of preaching going on that's so exciting to the flesh. It says, hey, just choose who you are. See, the revelation of the righteousness of Christ in us is so powerful, so important. But we can't leave the revelation of the dirty, dark flesh body that you're stuck with. And so I can choose. I've had people say, well, you just need to tell people. Because all this praying in tongues, all this fasting, all this stuff is works. It's too much work. Just tell them to be who they are. How many know when God looks at you, he sees righteousness? Say amen. When he looks at you, he sees a perfect child. He sees you beautiful, glorious. He sees the light in you. But when the devil looks at you, when you look at you, your flesh, you can see all the weaknesses. But knowing that I'm righteous does not mean I'm holy. So the idea that just tell people to choose to be who they already are. That's a great revelation. The problem is my flesh won't allow me to go too far into that, because as soon as my flesh hears the word death to it, it starts to fight me, my body. How many know what I'm talking about? Say amen, you're preaching good. You better amen me lost. My mom's taking notes right now. So he says here in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Now, where does this works of darkness come from? If I have already taken the core, the nature of darkness out of me, and have replaced it with the nature of light and life, then where does this works of darkness come from? I asked a bunch of preachers. I said, why do Christians like to sin? And all of them said, every one of them, not preachers from our circle, but just preachers in general, and they all said, well, because they have this human nature. And I said, well, you no longer have a human nature. You have a nature of life. So the desire to sin from you and from me is not the same as the desire to sin from the person, your next door neighbor, who's not saved. They can't help it. They can try to be good. The problem is they have a nature they're condemned to that says it's impossible for you. You can pretend to be holy. You can act holy. But it's impossible for you to ever shed it. Shed darkness. Why? Because it's who you are. But when you were born again and became a new creature, you have life and light on the inside of you. That light, say light. That's inside of you. So when we put on the armor of light, we can read in Ephesians, put on the armor of God. Do you understand that it comes from the same place? Where do I put the armor of light? The armor of God, it describes holiness. Do not lie. Righteousness. Where does that come from? We take from our nature within and we begin to arm ourselves and remove the armor, the flesh of darkness, and put on the armor of light. We put on light from the nature on the inside of us. So here it says, verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. My God, if the day was at hand back then the day is at hand now. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. What does this mean? It means we can take the body of flesh that has different desires. This body, which is trying to tell us who we are, trying to tell us you need this. You can take a child that's broken. Why does a woman, a Christian woman, get married to a loser? I mean, he's a loser. Capital L, loser. And she likes him. She marries him. He doesn't work. He drinks. He beats her, and she gets rid of him. Finally, all her family says, stay away from loser. He doesn't even have a car. He doesn't work. Oh, I love him. I love him. God told me in a dream he was the one. No, I remember one lady told me that. God told me I was supposed to marry him. I said, God did not tell you that. You know, God wouldn't make you go through that. And thank God she didn't marry him. And because he's still a loser. And so why does a woman, who finally gets rid of that loser, finally gets free from him? No more beatings, no more alcoholic nights, no more her having to work three jobs, pay the bills, do all that stuff. Finally, yes, glory to God. I know we're not for a divorce, but this guy needed to be cut off. And she finds another guy. And you're like, it's the same guy. Different face, different name, but the same guy. It's like, what's wrong? Because something in her, something's broken, not in her spirit. Because when God looks at her, if she saw the real her, she would see righteousness, light. But something's broken in her soul. Something's broken in her natural being, the body, the natural brain, the natural soul. Something's broken that says, I need this because there's a million reasons. Psychology is real. Psychology for the natural man is real, but psychology is no hope for becoming a man of the Spirit. So where do I get rid of the works of darkness? What's in me that's pushing me towards the darkness? And darkness is not just smoking and drinking. Darkness is so much more than that. It is every thought that tells you God, you're not good enough for God. Every thought that says God will not provide for you. Every thought that says you're behind, that you're not as good as the next guy, that you are not as special to God. Or let me even get more specific. You, say me, you are not as important to the body of Christ as somebody else. That the anointed preacher, glory to God, did you see him walk in the room? I know you're not talking about me, but maybe Pastor Dave. The whole presence changed. Do you understand that you are just as important in the body of Christ as any calling? Your calling is. You're just as special to God and just as important. So every thought that tells you you're not as important, that you pursuing God and knowing God is not as important as the next guy, that thought, it comes from darkness. And where does that darkness lie? It lies in this body that we've been left with. It lies in the natural mind. Every thought of failure, every thought of lust, every thought of unsafety comes from that place. The night is far spent, the day's at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Where does this armor of light come from? I know we used to go and confess it every day. Today I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Well, that's good to do, but don't reach up to heaven. Don't grab it from heaven. The armor of light comes from the nature of light inside of you. I put on the helmet of salvation. I'm saved. I have power over my mind. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because I have righteousness now, I can protect my heart and I can live for God with all my heart. All right. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in... So see, you can see from verse 13 I'm about to read, you can walk as a Christian both in holiness or in unholiness. Let us walk properly in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness or in lewdness or lust, and lust not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So here the word flesh would be interpreted as the body you're wearing, not the nature of sin. So make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So where does the lust, the desires for darkness come from once you're born again? From this body, the body you're wearing. It has desires and lusts. And I wrote down, while I'm getting ready to read what I wrote, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. This is what God says about you. God says in Scripture, here are some words that God says about you. When God looks at you, this is what He says. And when you look at you, this is what you need to say about yourself. He says, you are, or I am, His child. I am a child of God. That's what He says. So ask me, who are you? I'm a child of God. Yeah, but, you know, I saw you get angry the other day. I'm a child of God. I am a branch connected to God. I am the apple of His eye. Scripture says, I am fearless. Scripture says, I am now, right now, right now, right now, free from sin. God says, I'm an heir with Christ. God says of me, I am accepted. He calls me a friend. I am, right now, at one with Him. Not during worship. Right now. My worst day. I'm at one with Him. Let me add to these sayings that God says. This is on your worst day. Okay? On your worst day, Because see, before you were saved, when you were had no hope, he loved you. He doesn't love you anymore now than he did back then. But this is what he says about you even on your worst day. You're a new creature. New creation. New creature. I am the righteousness of Christ. Why am I righteous? Righteousness is his gift. It's who I am. It's my nature of who I am. I do have lusts of the flesh, but they come from where? The flesh. Not the old nature. The old nature's already gone. Pulled out of me, buried. They have a gravesite up in Fort St. John, British Columbia. Little Pentecost, PAOC church. Pentecostal Assembly of God Church in Canada. Evangel Chapel. They have a little burial plot. It says, this is where Alan Taylor died. And me, I was resurrected and made a new creature. I am the righteousness of Christ. I am blessed. That's what the Bible says about me. I am seated with him in heavenly places. Right now, even though you may feel like you're riding a Harley to hell, you know, because you had a bad day, God says, no, you're seated with me in heavenly places. I am chosen. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am sealed with the Spirit. I am his workmanship. I am a member of his body. I have been brought near to him. He says, I am light. On my worst day, oh God, I'm here. He says, you're light. No, you don't you see all the darkness? No, you're light. I'm a citizen of heaven. I am raised in him. I have been made complete in him. I am loved by him. I am his treasure. I am his masterpiece. I'm his son, and you may be his daughter. That's what he says about us. But then, when you read Scripture, what does he say about your body? He has different names for your body. Remember last week we talked about nicknames? So that's what got me thinking. Let me look at some nicknames. What does he call? What does he call you, child? Light. You walk in the room, hey, Light. Well, your family, God has nicknames for you. For you, he calls you Light. Child, son, daughter, righteousness. He calls you hope, fearless. You may have your worst day ever. You may have just been beat up and feel like you're never going to make it. And you go to God, and he says, hey, fearless, come on in. The next time you come in, you feel horrible. It says, hey, son, hey, loved, hey, apple. Apple of my eye, come on in. Me? There's no one else here. Come on. That's his nicknames for you. For you. All right now, that's his nicknames for you. For your flesh, he has nicknames too. See, I want you to see that he looks at your body different than you. Your body, you are responsible to steward it. But it's not you. And so every lust that comes from your body trying to tell you who you are. See, we've classified the body as just this, my hand. But my hand is really just the smallest portion of my body. Because my hand does what it's commanded to do. Where the hand goes and what it does is commanded by the brain. So there's portions of your natural brain. That's where a lot of our, what we would call lusts come from, the soul, the natural part of your soul. He'll look at you and say, your flesh, not you. Hey, mortal. That's such a mean nickname, mortal. You're mortal. You're dying. You're going to die one day. You know that? Not you. That's God talking to your body. Your body comes in and says, accuses you. You know, me and Alan, we're really bad at this. And God says, shut up, mortal. You're going to drop off of him one day. You have a time period. Alan, my son, my light, Mr. Righteousness himself, fearless. That's what he's nicknamed me and you. He's never going to die. But you, mortal, you got a time limit. You're falling off him every minute. You're getting older. You're falling off of him. Mortal. Corrupt. He calls it corrupt. Hey, corruption, shut up. Natural. You're from this natural world. You're dishonored. Just, hey, dishonored. So anytime you go to God and try to bring your flesh or your body with you to say, me and my body are here, God separates you from your body and says, take dishonored and throw him out the back. Take Mr. Dust and chuck him out. Mr. Carnal. Mr. Vain. Mr. Wise of this world. He's only got the wisdom of this world. That's just stupidity to God. Powerless, he calls it. Human. When you hear someone defend the humanity of Christians and try to defend the love this flesh has to offer, they're trying to defend a second-class type of love, a second-class type of giving. And we'll get into it one day soon in the 1 Corinthians 13 where it exposes the works that you do for God. Let me rephrase it. The works that you do in the name of God, for God, from this flesh is not counted in heaven. Those works are burnt up. That every work that we do for God must come and be birthed and started and finished by the Spirit, not by your flesh. So you can go do a good work in the name of God and rally a bunch of people in the flesh, in the wisdom of this world, using Scripture to justify it. And when we get to heaven, it'll go, be burnt up in a moment. Because it belongs from, it was birthed out of the power of the flesh, out of the wisdom of this world. Those are the names that God has for us, for our flesh, not for us. So let's go to Galatians, because Galatians 5 is very similar to Romans 13, which we just read. And it was very clear in Romans 13, the lusts of the flesh come from this body. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now in the New King James here, that's a capital S, but it's supposed to be a small s. And you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Or is that wording again? Lusts of the flesh. So here's what he's saying. Why? You ever see a fight between the Holy Spirit and your flesh? No. This is talking about the Spirit and your body. Now, the reason I know it's not talking about my old nature is because I did not have a new nature to fight against my old nature until I put to death my old nature. So then I had a new nature. See, you understand that. I just confused 90% of the church world right there. But all of you are going, amen, amen. Born Again Trail, tape 4, number first set. So that's how I know he's not talking when he says flesh here, because flesh can mean many things. Remember, flesh is a bigger overall, the word flesh is a bigger overall Greek word here, but it can also mean body, which is this, okay? So walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So here's some nicknames that God has for your flesh, because your flesh produces these things. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. Contrary. See that? Your spirit man is contrary to your flesh man. Every hurt, look at me for a moment. Every hurt from your past, every wound, the healing you're after. Remember the vision I had, and I walked into God's presence. I went to go worship him. I walked into the temple in this vision and in my hand. And I walked in and God smiled really big. He said, hey, son, come in. And he was so excited to see me. Then he looked and there was in my hand a little 4-year-old Alan. And God's face changed, got real stern. He said, who's that? I said, well, this is 4-year-old Alan. This is little Alan. He got hurt when my earthly father died. Now my real father's here, but my natural father passed away when I was 4. And I said, this is little Alan. He got hurt that day that his natural dad died.
And I need you to heal little Alan so that big Alan, me, could accept you as father, because I'm having a hard time receiving you as father because of this moment in time. See, a lot of the wounds that you have, the way you act, the way you respond. Some people, you've been rejected so many times that as soon as someone starts to get close to you, you reject them, saying, I'll reject you first so that you can't reject me. And it's a response not of you, it's from your flesh. See, this is your natural soul dictating to you thoughts and lusts and darkness. And so what did God tell me to do? He said, I'm not going to heal him. That's not who, he's not for me. And he said, well, what do I do? How do I fix this? And he gave me a knife. He said, kill him. What? That seems so cruel. But God is not the father of your flesh. He's the father of you. He's the father of your spirit. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you're not under the law. Now, why does it say this? Because within your nature is the law. You're not under the law. It does not mean I'm lawless. Hallelujah, says the hyper grace guy. I'm not under the law because I'm of the spirit, meaning I have no law. I can do whatever I want because God is the father of my spirit. My flesh is free to do and run and roam, and I'm the righteousness of Christ. See, this is the preaching. It cannot only be who you are. The preaching also has to be the part of you you got to get rid of, your flesh, your body. The church is not just about who you are. When you get to heaven, you'll be free to be who you are. But until that day, you still have to struggle with this flesh, which is contrary to the spirit. Take one big guy, 150-pound guy, young guy, tie a rope around his waist. Take another 160-pound guy, tie a rope around his waist. Same rope, and say, now run in different directions. That's contrary. You want to know why you feel stuck? Because you have something pulling against you, contrary to you. You're the spirit, but contrary is the body that you're wearing, which is contrary, even when it pretends to act like the spirit. Psst, I am love. I am forgiveness. I am joy. And so much of the preaching of the church today is about getting the flesh excited about the Word of God because it offers it something. But when you start to offer death to the flesh, they don't come hear you preach anymore. You see them come to church all the time. One's excited about serving God and the other spouse, their spouse is not. So, okay, I'll come to church with you. You know, yeah, we'll go to that church. And all of a sudden the preacher starts saying, Pastor Dave gets up, or Gary, get rid of you. You want to pray more? Get a smaller house. Quit. Sell that boat so you don't go fishing. You'll spend those hours praying. Sell your big TV and get one little TV. Or sell your third TV and get a second. Just have two. You don't need a long car. Get a short car. You don't need a big bank account. You just need God. And the one spouse goes, oh, amen, I'm going to fast. We're going to fast, honey. We're going to do this, okay? And then the other spouse goes, I don't like this church. And they'll start looking around for good reasons, legal reasons, to not attend a service where they preach that. Because I don't want my spouse getting the idea that they're going to get to sell that boat. You know, you take a fisherman's boat from them and you're in trouble. You know, no. Our life's going to be about serving God, not about ourselves anymore. I don't like this church. They're not nice here. Yeah, look, see, that person gave me a bad look. And they'll come up with all kinds of reasonings to pull their spouse out. And that's, listen, if you're going to follow God, welcome to the fight. Because God's expecting you to fight your spouse, not give in to your spouse, but to fight them with wisdom. You know, but to fight them. Well, praise God, I had one guy. See, it's the wisdom of the flesh. Greatest guy in the world. Loved kids. Loved children. Wanted to be a kid's pastor so bad. You stick him anywhere, and kids were drawn to him. And he started entertaining them and preaching Jesus to them. And he said to me, yeah, you know, I've talked to my wife, and when I retire, I'm only 5 years away from retirement. When I retire, I'll have enough income that I'll be able to go full-time into doing kids ministry. So they had worked out the plan of God with their own ideas, their own way to be safe with retirement. And I thought, man, you've wasted 30 years waiting for retirement, doing a job you hate because you're afraid that God won't provide for you, because you live higher for your flesh to keep it happy. See, this is part of the walk. The rules of God are different than the world rules of this world. The wisdom of this world, God calls stupidity. The wisest person in this world who can take your problem and give you the right steps. I've got 10 steps for you how to walk out of poverty. I've got 10 steps to walk out of hurt. I've got 10 steps how to rearrange your life. The wisest person has no power, is stupid to the wisdom of God. And when the wisdom of the world looks at the wisdom of the Spirit, they go, oh, that's so stupid. Why are you so dumb? Look at you. Why are you so dumb? Here you are in God's eyes. He goes, oh, you're so smart. That's his nickname for you, smart. Smarty pants. Wise one, because you're obeying him. The world looks at you and says, what's wrong with you? But see, when God looks at them, he goes, what's wrong with you? So if you're led by the Spirit, verse 18, you're not under the law. Why are we not under the law? It's not that he's saying here you're lawless. He's saying you're not under the law. You don't need a law to tell you what to do anymore. Why? Because your new nature is righteous, is telling you right now. Now, let's be clear. The new nature is not going to tell you every detail. Because the fight of the flesh is so much deeper than living with your girlfriend. So much deeper than smoking a cigarette. And it goes to every thought. See, you're going to fight your flesh on every thought, on every opinion, on every action. And that's when the Holy Spirit works through your spirit to help you to fight that. All right. So in other words, once you're born again, you don't know how to be perfect yet. You got a long ways to go. I have a long ways to go. In this is not to condemn you, to say, look how bad you are. Look at you. Look how much you're living under the flesh. You're such a weak Christian. The point of this is to say, it doesn't matter where you are. You're not condemned to be stuck there. Where you are in your health, in your finances, in your walk with God, you're not stuck there because you're a child of God. He's already made way for you. You may think you're not a fighter, but my God, you are a fighter. So we're not under the law. Why? Because we don't need an outward, exterior message to tell us who we are. Now, the world needs a preacher, because without a preacher, they can't hear the word. See, but you have the Holy Ghost, and you have a new nature to preach to you all the time. Unless you sear that voice of your new nature, he will be speaking to you all the time. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Now, this is the works of the flesh. This is what your flesh pushes. In one form or another, in one extreme or small act or another, your flesh will push. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, this is the New King James, contentions, jealousies. So where do these things come from? Don't let me hear you say, I'm jealous. Because you're not who God made you. There's no jealousy in you. You can say, I fight jealousy. But you're not jealous. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now this confused me for a long time. Because, you know, I had first started hearing, if you do any of these things, you're not going to go to heaven. You know. And how many have had a few problems with some of these things before? Maybe like last night or this morning already, you know, on the way to church and coffee at the Starbucks, that guy took too long, you know, and I can't, you know. So why does it say those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, the key word here is do. Because do, when you look at it, it means practice. practice. You ever see someone practice for a basketball game? They spend hours bouncing the ball, shooting it. What are they doing? They're practicing to be good at something. Now, this is a different word than struggle. See, those who struggle with these things, you can hold your hand up or you don't have to hold your hand up. We know you can hold your hand up. Those who struggle with these things is different than those who practice these things. See, practicing is an acceptance of this is who I am. I am making a way for this. And how many know if you practice sin and make it that is who you are and begin to fight for it, you can eventually walk away from your salvation. But it's not talking about struggling with these things. The key word is do. Those who practice this, those who are trying to keep it, eventually you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, whether you want to say you won't inherit all the goodness of God or whether you won't make it to heaven, it's the same story. It depends on how far down the road you go. But, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is who you are. These are nicknames for God that has for you. But the fruit, meaning this will be produced out of you. Fruit shows up. You don't have to make it work. You can't make fruit show up. You can try. You can squeeze that tree. You can do whatever you want. Fruit comes when it comes. But once it comes, it keeps coming. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Why do I not need a law? Because no one has to tell me, dude, this is fruit. This is what comes out of me as I mature to my new nature. The new nature itself does not, you don't get more of it. It doesn't grow. It's who you are. You grow to that new nature. You mature. That's why we need to pray in tongues. Because praying in tongues will help you to decide. And knowing the word will help you to decipher between soul and spirit and flesh and spirit. And fasting will help you mortify the flesh, the power of the flesh. See, this is all, everything we've been taught is the process of growing, letting that fruit come out of us. Do you know that miracles and revival from the proper way is fruit? Do you know that holiness, the proper way, is fruit? It's not a discipline, although discipline will be part of it, and we'll get into another message, the practical things we do until we have the fruit. We don't just let our flesh run rampant and say, praise God, one day I'll be gone. No, we say, this is who I am, so I'm going to fight this stuff. You know. But even if you fail, it doesn't mean you're a failure. Even if you struggle, it doesn't mean it's who you are, it's your struggle. But if you practice it, that's when you are getting into trouble. Say amen if you're still with me. Verse 23, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We don't need a law because it's in us. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its and. Do you see that? Affections and lusts. Your body has affections and lusts. It's not from you. Your body has these things, affections and lusts. So what's our job? Those who are Christ, or we can say those who practice Christianity, would be a good way of saying this, have crucified what? The flesh with its passions and desires. We take it and stick it, sucker, on the cross once a week. Every Sunday morning right before we go to church, we plead the blood. Thank God, Pastor Dave's not preaching, so he won't call me out. You've been sinning. We just, hallelujah, thank God, forgive me for sin. When the prophet's preaching, I remember being young in church, I'll be sitting over here on one side and the prophet's over here calling people out. You stand up. You've been in this. You stand up. You ever been with a prophet like that? It scares the bejeevers out of you. You. And I'm on this side of the church going, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. I'm washed in the blood. Hallelujah. And Father, it's in the sea of forgetfulness. You cast it as far as the east is from the west. That means that if you don't remember, you can't tell the prophet. So by the time he gets to me, I am pure as snow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, amen. See, he's not talking about weekly when the special prophet comes through. He's talking about every day. You, every day, practice this walk of putting the desires, the thoughts, the intents, the lusts of the flesh. Every thought that says you're hurt. Someone says, well, I'm hurt from my past. That hurt is legitimate, but it's in your flesh. Your job is to say, okay, it's there. I'm not in denial that it's there, but I'm not condemned to be live my life wounded. Hurt, I refuse to accept you as a voice in my life because the Word of God says I am whole. So my job is not to pet that hurt, not to live my life around that hurt, but to take my Word of God out like a sword and stab it. Say, nope, I don't agree. No, don't you know you're wounded? You have a right to be a victim. No, I do not accept that. And some people have been really truthfully super wounded in the past. And I'm not saying that that's not legitimate. But the truth says, I get to agree with the Word of God says that I'm no longer submitted to the thoughts that come from that hurt. I'm allowed to have a good life, a good family, a happiness that comes from the Spirit. I'm allowed to have it. So shut up, hurt. I stab you. I call you dead. Amen. Verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's the New King James. How's it saying the King James? Someone read that verse. Affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're born again, you can walk like it. How do I walk like it? Every day you disagree, you have an argument with the flesh, which is pulling you in a contrary way. And you say, I don't live after you, I live after who God made me. And your flesh will come put his arm around you, your body, and say, yeah, let's go this way. I'm going to close with this because I'm running out of time. There's people who are manipulators. And you all know someone, but there's people who are really good at it. Okay. Someone who's a manipulator, you say, where are we going to go eat? And they go, oh, I think we should go for Mexican. Yeah, Mexican sounds good, right, everybody? Mexican, or Pastor Dave will manipulate you. Pastor Dave will manipulate you on Sunday. We'll all have a group and we'll all be deciding where we're going to go eat, and Pastor Dave will start to manipulate, say, God told me we're supposed to go to Indian Palace. Indian food is calling us. And all of us will be real submitted to our pastor and go, okay, Pastor, we'll go to Indian Palace again. You know, we went for lunch with Pastor Dave and Rosalie when he first moved here every Sunday for a year, and it was Indian Palace. But a real manipulator, what they do is everyone goes, where are we going to eat? And everyone gives their opinion. And when they say, and they want to go to, say, the Indian food, and everyone decides Mexican, a real manipulator goes, yeah, Mexican sounds good. And then as you're walking to the Mexican restaurant, they begin to work it to change your direction to go to the, all of a sudden you end up at the Indian Palace because they've worked you to change your direction. So they don't up front tell you what they want, but they begin to steer you. See, that's someone who's really skilled at manipulation. They go, oh, good idea, good idea. And then by the time you're done, you're doing what they want. Well, that's your flesh. Your body will say, yeah, yeah, amen, amen, hallelujah. And then you start walking. Let's fast. Gary says, let's fast. And you go, amen, I'm going to fast. And your flesh goes, yeah, fast. And then the next 3 hours, it begins to work with you, your little appetites. You know, you need your nutrients. You know, your blood sugar might get low. You know, you got a big day. I'll tell you what, let's plan it out. Give me a little something today, and I'll give you tomorrow. Or next week, let's make a whole thing. We'll get all organic juices, and we'll get a bunch of water saved up, and we'll get ready. We'll start on Monday. Next Monday, we'll start. And you'll, okay, good, yeah, high five, flesh, good job. Then by Monday, you know, next Monday might be a better day. You know, don't you know it's National Donut Day today, or the pizza place that has a special deal coming up? See, your flesh will mimic the fruit of the Spirit to get you to go with it, but it's not the fruit of the Spirit. The best love the world has, is a mama's love, but in God's eyes, it's not the same as his love. It's a copy. All right, let's finish with this. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's not have my flesh pick on your flesh. Let's walk in the Spirit, because if we walk in the Spirit, we're going to love each other like we love ourselves. There's no striving against your spirit. You're not striving to be righteous. You already are righteousness. The striving is against what's pulling you the other way, your body. That is as much part of the gospel as who you are until we get to heaven. Once we get to heaven, and once we get the new heaven, new earth, we'll have a new body. But until then, when this body falls off of us, there's no more striving. You don't have to fight against jealousies or envies. But on this earth, you better be careful. Because if you pick the wrong doctrine, it's like a weed that grows up. And it's false fruit. And people get to heaven with a big pile of works that they have accomplished for God, triumphantly going into heaven, going, dun, 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 dun. I am here. I have fed the masses. I have won many souls. I've done all these great works for you, God. And he'll say, well, let's test it by the fire. You know, burn up and be a heap of ashes. And you'll walk up there with whatever works you have, and it will stay because you birthed it by the Spirit, not accomplished it by the works of the flesh. Amen. You are released. Sorry I went over. Be back at 10 o'clock.